Exodus chapter 20, as we read a very short verse, Exodus 20, 15, and then with your place held there, flip over to the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Exodus 20, 15. Listen carefully to God's word. You shall not steal. Ephesians 4, 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Thou shalt not steal, as the King James rendering has it. One pastor I know believes that the eighth commandment is the most widely broken commandment of all the commandments. He may be right. This commandment teaches that you and I have a right to personal property. It also teaches that we are to respect and protect both the property and the interest of other people. There is a movement going on today. It used to be called the Theonomic movement, propagated by men who were known as theonomists. That is the institution, the reinstitution of the law of God into our society. It has a new name, and its new name is Reconstructionism. And it's gaining an ascendancy and influence. Unfortunately, it is espoused in large part by Reformed, Calvinistic, and sometimes Presbyterians. They believe in so applying the law of God in our society today that they would bring the secular arm of government under the authority of the kingdom. They suggest that there should not be property taxes. Some of the things that they suggest in the Reconstructionist movement is helpful, and it sounds good to me. The suggestion that there should not be, for example, property taxes is predicated on the fact that it is, according to the Bible's view, God owns property, not the state. And the state has no right to tax what is God's. Now, one perspective that we need to have before we actually begin our study this morning in the eighth commandment, it is this. You and I may possess, whereas it is God alone who owns. You do not own anything. You may possess it. You may be a steward of it, but you do not own it. That is the Bible's view. As we consider no stealing today, let's first ask ourselves, what is the cause of stealing? I think there are two causes. One is internal within us, and one is external outside of us. I think the obvious reason that we steal is because of unbelief. A failure to believe, Philippians 4:18. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I believe that if a person believed that, he would not steal. I think another internal cause of stealing is just rank covetousness. And in this sense, the 10th commandment is related to the 8th commandment. We covet what others have, and therefore we steal in one way or the other. And I want to say a word by way of parenthesis, and it is this. That as we think about stealing today, I would ask you not to ask yourself, how is so-and-so guilty of stealing? How does he or she steal from me? But I want to ask you to be very honest and to ask yourself, how am I stealing? How am I stealing? Another source of stealing, an external source, is Satan's temptation to cause us to compare what we have with those around us. I think that is one of the primary motivations. It is for advertising. It is to get you to desire to have something more alike or better than what other people have. And so it's predicated on your depraved nature and on mine. And they are expert at that manipulation. I'll never forget the time that I stopped at a 7-Eleven store on a trip one day. And I was going to buy a Coca-Cola. And I had heard on television the commercial. A commercial. And when I opened the door of the 7-Eleven or whatever it was, and started walking back to get a drink, I started hearing this song that was going, "Hello Mountain Dew." You know what I bought? Mountain Dew. So powerful is just that type of advertising. Imagine the play upon our own depraved nature. Oh, I really ought to have this. I should have that. They have one. They might even have two. I ought to have at least one. And so the kind of nature that we have will naturally lead us into a stealing attitude, and it is the source, the root cause, and mind you, this is essential. The root cause is the anticipation, the possibility that I will get something for nothing. I believe that if we always operate on a principle, and this principle, if you didn't get it by honest labor, or if it wasn't an outright gift, then it is probably stolen. What are the kinds of stealing? I take the trouble to go into the different kinds of stealing because it may surprise you what form stealing actually takes. And that's why I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm just saying let us each look at ourselves and not look at our neighbors and ask ourselves what it means to steal. There are different forms it takes. The first form is we may steal from God. That's the most serious breaking of the 8th commandment, to steal from God. How may you steal from God? You may steal from God according to Malachi chapter 3. If you and I do not, as God says, bring in the tithe into the storehouse. That is God's principle. It is not mine, and it's the Word of God, and it is not my opinion. But what the Word of God says is that if we do not give God what He demands, then we are guilty of stealing from Him. And whether or not we're adults our children. You may teach your teenagers and your children what it means to give God what He demands. And to begin to show them how to give to God on a regular basis. That's the most serious. Stealing from God. I would hate to be in some shoes of some folk when they have to answer for their stewardship on this earth. Bad enough to be in my own. We may steal from God when we hold the glory from Him that is due unto Him. People who say that they can be saved by their own free will are stealing God's glory. Because the only way you and I can be saved is by God's grace and His gift alone made to you. And dear friends, if we do not give Him His glory and His due, if we have the temerity to say that it was by my choice that I'm saved, then you're stealing, you are pilfering the praise of God. You may steal from God. I'm not pointing fingers. You may steal from God when you do not use the Lord's Day as He would have you use it. There's another form of stealing, and that is stealing from others. Stealing from others. The commandment, the eighth commandment, is a two-edged sword. When we think of stealing, what we often think of are those people who are the criminal types. I mean the people who are the burglars and the thieves and the robbers. Frequently those who are in poor or unpromising conditions. And we think they are stealers. They are the robbers. And the commandment applies especially to them. But the commandment is a two-edged sword. And in ancient Israel, the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," had a greater application to the rich and to the prosperous than it did to the poor. The reason is this. It is one thing to steal because you do not have. It is another thing to use your place of power and of position to get and extract from others what you want. You know, modern technology has now made it possible and even tempting where a person can steal through electronic manipulation to the extent that he can walk away with thousands and millions of dollars. We hear of financial institutions and financiers constantly who are involved in some kind of criminal activity. And I'm sad to say that frequently, or at least more often than not, it appears that they seem to work out some kind of deal with the IRS and they're never prosecuted criminally for what they've done. And they're criminals, but because they're white collar, then they are not brought to justice. There are some who bring about their own justice, and it's sad, sad, sad. You heard about the man in one of the states in the Northeast who was involved in a financial scandal and convicted of it, and who called an interview. And before the cameras, he committed suicide. Is this commandment the most widely broken today? I wouldn't be surprised. The worst thief, as I've said, is the thief who uses his position and his power. And so the worst thieves
are not necessarily those who are hungry and steal because of it. I'm concerned, and I'll say it, I'm concerned about a Congress that could, on the last day when it could have voted itself not receiving a raise, dismissed early at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then on the next day, when they finally, when they could not, the date was over, and they could not change their own raise, they all gave a voice vote of disapproving the raise. I think that we are in trouble when we have such men who lack integrity leading our nation. I am tired of hearing these men criticize the President of the United States and the White House when they can turn around and do something so dishonest as that. I'll say it. Dante in his Inferno had at the bottom place in hell those who were swindlers. I feel swindled. I feel that I have been hoodwinked. A motel in a southern city was in a place where a snowstorm took place. Drivers were stuck on the highway. They had to walk to the motel, some of them. The motel hiked its prices 3 times what they normally were because they knew they could make a buck. That's a form of stealing as well. What are some other forms? Well, when a person is dishonest, that can be stealing. Plea bargaining, when a person, for example, we sometimes have riots, as we did in the 60s. We prosecute people who steal from other people. But when the thousands and thousands of looters break into stores, how many of those people are prosecuted because they're criminals? There is an injustice in some systems. And you and I are the only ones who should have an impact and should make a contribution in that area somehow. We can be stealing. Gambling is a form of stealing. I want to see the horse races too. I said I want to see them. But gambling is a form of stealing. It operates on the principle of something for nothing. That's why a Christian ought not to be involved in it. It doesn't matter in what level, whether he is talking about football games, whether he's talking about tennis, whether he's talking about horses or whatever. Employers who do not give what their employees deserve steal from their employees. Employees who do not give a full day's honest labor to their employers are stealing from their employers. Employees who pilfer the purse of their companies by taking pens or paper or whatever, and then they say, well, I really don't get that much anyway, and I deserve to have this. They are stealing from their employer. Lying advertisements. That's stealing. Contracting indebtedness to support a life of luxury and of vanity. And going into significant debt and then not paying your bill when your bills are due, you are stealing. Withholding honor from another person when you could speak a word of encouragement to that individual apart from the money. When you could say, hey, that was good. Hey, I like that what you achieved and what you've done. And not encouraging, you're not doing what you could. And therefore, that's tantamount to stealing from that person. But did you know you can steal from yourself? Did you know that you can become a miser? I know people who can hold on to a nickel until their knuckles turn white. I mean, they wouldn't release anything. I know other people who are always saving everything that they have, and so they're basically, in a sense, they could be stealing from themselves because they deny themselves the blessings that God has given them. You can be so extreme in that. I wonder if somebody had explained that to Howard Hughes, if it would have made a difference. You can steal by being wasteful. You remember the prodigal son? He did take his inheritance, but he was stealing. He just wasted it. You can steal by just being an idler and not being interested and involved in doing that which you could do. Just wasting time. Just sitting around with your thumb twiddling. You can steal. If you sacrifice your principles, you can steal from yourself. If you sacrifice your principles in order to get some immediate gain. Like Judas. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas sold not Christ, but himself. How many would actually be willing to say, yes, every man has his price? Do you? Do I? God forbid. Lord, make us men and women of principle, of such a deep-seated principle and commitment that even if we are hurt, we're going to be faithful to God and we're going to be faithful to ourselves. How can you and I keep the commandment quickly? The first thing we can do is engage in honest labor. Engage in honest labor. Just as we read in that passage in Ephesians 4:28 that said, let him who stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands in order to give to the poor. Do you make it a purpose of your job just so that you may get in order to give to other people? Is that a purpose for your working? I hope so. It adds a whole new dimension to your going to work. Whatever you do, you get up, whether you're pumping gas or teaching school, if you realize you're making money so that you can help the kingdom of God and you can help those around you. That gives you a ministry. That gives you a purpose in going to work. There is a text in Scripture that every person should make a prayer, and it's a prayer for contentment. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. If you don't remember anything else I've said this morning, remember this verse. Okay? Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 says this: give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that is my portion. Labor to serve. Begin to gain contentment, asking God. Every Christian should pray that prayer. And then, don't be selfish. but be giving. Let it be your purpose, not merely to amass great wealth. I hope that you all become wealthy and prosperous, and that you win the $10 million sweepstakes. But some of you probably won't, but I know that those of you who do will share it with all God's children. Practice this principle finally. And as Paul said, let him who will not work not eat. You don't work, then you don't eat. You can't steal from God, from yourself, and from others. That which is not through honest labor, whatever that labor is, because all work is good and honest. All work, if it's honest, is good. And be content with what you have. May God bless us and enable us to look into our own hearts and discover the ways that we may be pilfering from those around us, and give us the courage to change. Let's pray. Our Father, we do indeed pray that you would help us not to steal from others. But when we go over the Ten Commandments, Lord, we just can only confess to you that we're murderers and adulterers, thieves. And we do all those things. And so we have to come fleeing from the law to the cross of Jesus Christ, crying out to you, Lord, have mercy upon us and forgive us and cleanse us and help us to live for Him. Help those this morning, Father, who are in the sound of my voice, who are despairing because they cannot meet these demands. And help them to come to Christ and to receive His perfection and His sacrifice for them, that they may be forgiven. And help those, Lord, within the sound of my voice, who can feel nothing, who have not been placed under conviction, because they have not yet really looked at their own hearts. Help them to see themselves, that they may turn to Christ as well. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.